The world's greatest software developers are powered by their passion for lifelong learning. You know that you too aspire to be a great software developer. Your journey to greatness can stall if you don't discover new people to learn from. You want long-term access to those who will teach you, but where do you find them? Stay tuned. Being the Worst, Episode 1, recorded live, Friday, August 18th, 2012. From beingtheworst.com, it's the Being the Worst podcast. Audio apprenticeships for the aspiring software craftsman. With your hosts, Carrie Street and Renat Abdullin. In this episode, Carrie and Renat introduce the show and describe the plan for the road ahead. They are still figuring out how to produce and host a podcast, so feel free to cut them a little slack on any episode quality issues. And now, here are Carrie and Renat. Hello and welcome to the Being the Worst podcast. It's Carrie and Renat here, and we're very excited to be launching our new show. How are you, my friend?
Hi, how are you doing?
I am good. Let's see. I think we'll just jump right into, you know, what is this show? Why are we doing it? And it's kind of coming from my perspective, and that's so you know some basic computer programming skills, maybe a little bit more of the basic. I do some programming, but I want to be a software craftsman. What does that mean? There's various definitions, but I basically want to explore the art and science of computer programming and get better at it. So in my particular case, and I think hopefully some of our listeners, my current learning has sort of plateaued. And I, you know, I've read the blogs and read source code online, and I need to find other human beings that I can learn from. And that's sort of where the Be the Worst name comes from. Be the Worst is actually a reference to the book Apprenticeship Patterns by Hoover and Ocean AA. And inside that book, on page 58, I think, they talk about a pattern called Being the Worst. And the main principle there is, you know, what do you do when you've run out of learning as much as you can in your current environment? And the reference is to, you know, go find a band and be the worst guy in the band and learn from the better musicians. And that's kind of the point behind the name of the show, Being the Worst. And embracing that, it's not, a bad thing. So given that, great. They tell me to be the worst and embrace that and go find a band to join. But what happens if there's nobody around for me to go hang out with and learn from? And that is where the show comes in. So what do I do if I want to learn from the best, or at least people that know more than I do in a given domain, and I don't have easy access to them? What I have been doing is, you know, read blogs like yours, look at open source software code, participate in the community here and there. But wouldn't it be great if someone in the real world with real world experience would guide me to the next level? And that, for me, was my ideal situation. And thankfully, my co-host, Renat, agreed to do that. So, Renat, before we get into the details of what our plan is for the show and where we're going to go from here, why don't we tell the listeners who the heck we are?
Okay, Carrie. Thanks, first of all, for all your enthusiasm and the suggestion to start the podcast, because that was one of the real moving and motivating factors for me. So I'm Renat Abdullin, tech lead of Locad, and we're not like thought leading company or the company that sets up the guidelines. I'm just one of the guys who managed to meet lots of really smart and amazing people around the world who were capable of finding and distilling some brilliant ideas that happened to work not only in theory, but they also worked in production. And these people were sharing their experience, their findings, with the community, with people around them. And in essence, we formed a collaborative environment where everybody was sharing, everybody was learning. And by doing that, the state of the art was pushed. And currently, this led to the situation in the .NET world, in .NET environment, and even in Java and related environments, that it becomes much easier for the developers or small companies to build efficiently software, to deliver products that just work, that can not only work, but they will outperform by many parameters other software that is called enterprise software, but is monolithic, costs, for example, thousands of dollars, billions of dollars, and doesn't perform as expected. And what are we here for? We're here in this amazing thing called IT or software development or software design for the sake of learning something and doing something with really great quality, if as efficiently as possible, and having fun and just making the difference. Well, of course, being paid handsomely for that is pretty good, I think.
That doesn't hurt.
Yeah. One of the most amazing things about these days is that technology advancements of the last few, decades and then years, they opened amazing opportunities for everybody, for every developer that maybe dreams of starting his own startup in a garage or with friends in the college. Like we have cloud computing, which essentially allows developer to compete with huge companies on a level of having almost unlimited access to computing power, to storage, et cetera, et cetera. We have the search of mobile devices, which is completely terra incognita for everybody on the market because nobody knows how to build efficiently reliable software that will work in a completely distributed environment, starting from some train driving in Africa where a person can have really a slow 3G connection, and somebody who is sitting on a beach on Bali and trying to code on his edge connection. So that's a new world. We have new situations, we have new places, and we have new opportunities for the developers. And Locad, as a company for which I'm working, it's a product of these new opportunities that came into existence and allowed us to do some crazy and amazing things. And this podcast is a way for me, for us, for everybody to share and to continue learning and moving forward. So we learn by moving forward, and the podcast here, in addition to a lot of synergies and positive effects for all its participants, it's about moving forward and helping the community. In essence, like we're trying to create a wave that will move forward, maybe like leave some dent or impact on the development industry, making it more practical, more efficient. Well, that's a big goal and that's a big hope. In essence, that will just create more possibilities for the developers who are, for example, graduating out of the university and they don't know what to do, which book to start reading, which path to take in order to become somebody who can look at complex enterprise, look at complex department, and understand and know in step-by-step plan how to approach a problem, for example, of automating that plant, of automating that department, or making things better for people, of solving some problems. So in essence, like one of the things that we're trying to achieve, well, one more thing, is to help developers that graduate out of universities or who are self-taught to become better at solving problems for other people. And talking about that, like the podcast, it's just tip of the iceberg. It's part of some much better, much longer and bigger plan that we hope will stay in effect for years and years. That's a long-term effort. Yep. And among the people who are involved in this collaborative experience, in addition to Kerry, who is the host of this podcast, and he shares the enthusiasm and he will bear the burden of actually making sense of my complicated talks. And he was already making sense out of the complicated projects that we were sharing with open source. We have also Von Vernon, who is author of a recently published book on implementing domain-driven design. And this amazing person, like with lots of practical experience and consulting, he agreed to be the editor of the podcast. And not editor of the podcast, editor of the high-level study map and actual body of knowledge that we're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Greg Young, who you probably heard of if you're in the .NET, .NET world, dealing with CQRS, event sourcing, or dealing with some really high-edge technologies, he's actually the author of event sourcing. That's something that we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
And he agreed to contribute to the podcast, to the project, not only in writing, but he's also writing an amazing event store project that will be open source and that will be available for the beginning developers for free. Since we have an amazing community, I would be hoping to bring in some more people just to make sure that the viewpoints expressed in this podcast are not extremely opinionated, and that they are practical, that they are coming from real people, like not some ivory tower architects or marketing salespeople interested only in selling their commercial product, but from people who own the products, that people who make all the decisions, and for each decision they made in their product, they have to live through ups and downs of that decision for years and years and years. And these are the people who actually made this effort possible. These are the people from whom we've learned, like Jeremy from Paris, Eve from Belgium, Tom Johnson's, etc., etc. That's the entire Amazing Streetcars community, and I'll be really glad to ask them stupid questions and drag them, kidnap them, get them drunk. Well, actually, Securus Beers was one of the approach of learning for the new developers is that you buy some beers for a really outstanding person, and while he drinks beers, you ask him questions while the beer lasts.
While the beer lasts.
When the beer runs out, you just buy another one. That's actually how I got myself into the Securus and event sourcing world, by catching Greg Young somewhere on a pub by the Champs-Élysées. It was a really outstanding experience. I've learned a lot, but the hangover on the next morning was terrible.
Yeah, I would imagine. I'm glad to hear some of those motivations, because they're very similar to why I even started, Googling around for this particular topic and found your blog at one point and started reading your posts and found Loqued.cqrs and got into some of the CQRS and event sourcing stuff. As you mentioned, I get to play the role of the worst in this particular case. So I will be playing the worst person on the podcast as it relates to professional development. I guess if professional development means you've been paid to write code before, I have been paid to write code before, but I've never really considered myself a professional software developer. It's always been for fun, for a hobby, or yes, I can crank something out if I need to, but it really wasn't until maybe the end of last year that I started just, not wanting to do that, not wanting to just be a hobby anymore. I wanted to learn more about it because I saw all those opportunities that you mentioned before. And, I was in a company that we had, I managed and led large software teams, and I was very excited to see their work and watch them do it. But as the book's apprenticeship patterns mentions in there, they often talk about how eventually when you get to a point in your career, you're going to be highly encouraged to go into the management route, and that it's discouraged almost to stay with the craft of software and embracing that. And so I took the bait a while ago and started moving slowly away from the technical aspects into the more leadership roles, because that's where the growth and the opportunity was for both my career and financially. But at the end of last year, I kind of decided, hey, I've done pretty well in that road, and I want to do something else. So I decided one day when I woke up that I was just going to quit. And I quit my job. That was a very nice company. I love that company. But I just was tired of doing it. I wanted to do something else. And so, it was a life-changing decision, just from a priorities perspective. And so around that time, that was the end of 2011-ish, I was in the industry to see sort of, it was in e-commerce, cloud computing was on the scene, and we were talking about that stuff, and are we going to utilize it, and things like that. And as you mentioned, it was becoming clear to me that some of the very large barriers that individuals and small teams face when competing with the larger established companies, kind of like the one I came from, certainly not Microsoft or anything $1 billion large, but bigger companies that basically had multiple millions of dollars 10 years ago to invest in large data centers, and where you could use that as a competitive advantage to keep, the guy in the garage out, the girl in the garage out, whatever, from competing with you, because they need to figure out how to get $100 million to start their company first. And as you mentioned, you've got highly reliable and scalable pay-as-you-go global infrastructure out there. You got the Azure and the Amazon, Rackspace, AppHarbor, Heroku, etc. The mobile stuff's exploding. We've got portable computers in everyone's pocket. You've got reliable vendors providing apps to people, you know, Twilio's and the programmable webs and Google Docs, Office 365. You know, you can get your company's infrastructure, you know, rent it. And then top that off with skilled individuals from around the globe willing to offer their talents for, you know, a contract fee, you know, Elance, Odesk, Mechanical Turk, Voices.com, stuff like that, where it became very clear to me that this seems like an opportunity that I haven't seen before. And this might be the time to just kind of go learn that and see like what an individual like me or a small company could do to compete against the giants like that to create large scale software where it wasn't possible before. So that led me to finding some of your blog posts and locad.cqrs and getting into it. And where I started to struggle was because I don't have a computer science education. I actually majored in business and got my degree in that. But I've always been in technology, self-taught. You know, I started with my Apple IIe, all that stuff, and worked my way up to everything being in technology and software related. But I don't have that computer science background, and I was just self-taught. So I was looking at your stuff, and I'm like, okay, I'm starting to hit the wall here on what I can learn on my own quickly. I know if I spend the next year or 2 years reading this on my own, I'm going to eventually get it. But I really wish I could just ask Renat, you know, all these questions in a row. And I think that's what I started doing with you, and you graciously were answering my questions back and forth. And that's where we came to this conclusion, like, hey, maybe we should ask these questions in a more public forum so that my ignorance can benefit others as well. And here we are. So that was a long story to say, like, why did I want to do this?
Well, and actually for that part, when you were mentioning like a small individual competes with a huge multi-digit company, that's what I was trying to do for my entire career. Until actually finding the company who actually does that. And at Locad, like one of the most amazing parts, the core team is distributed around the world. And we currently, I think, have under 15 people there. And we're competing for contracts with multi-billion transnational companies. And we're not making it easy for them.
Well, and I think hopefully, the broader picture of the podcast is about, you know, the ongoing continuous learning journey of, yes, a software craftsmanship and those kinds of things. But it just so happens that by embracing that and being passionate about those kinds of things, it does happen to be in an environment where you can take advantage of these things we're talking about and you can do those things that weren't possible before. And that's what excites me. Even if I never do anything with it, I just want to know that I could. So,
And actually, speaking of the prerequisites for this, like for anybody who is listening to the podcast and wants to join the journey, there is only one prerequisite. Like, you have to be interested. You want to be motivated, like to learn in this field, to apply efforts, maybe to apply some weekend nights, some evening hours after the work. You ought to be genuinely interested in becoming better. As Kerry mentioned with his story, like having a computer science degree, it's actually not prerequisite. My major is in economics. And I was learning .NET and C# while working on construction sites in Baltimore. And there was an opportunity for the people to get slightly better pay and more convenient working hours than doing double shifts on the construction site, breaking walls, if you were capable of doing some basic C# coding and testing. So we didn't have computers there because we were living in downtown. But there was a library. So everybody who was interested, like, was going to the library, taking the books, and actually reading about the .NET, trying to compile the programs there, the Hello World stuff, on a sheet of paper in the evenings. And that's actually how my career started. And that was, maybe it's not professional. Maybe it's not this enterprisey, maybe that they don't teach stuff this way at Oxford. However, it doesn't really matter. If you're really interested, if you're really motivated, then you would be able to make the steps. And this being the worst journey and all the accompanying materials that we'll be publishing. It's just something that to help you to make the decisions, to help you to see the opportunities, and to help you go forward. But the actual going, the actual process of taking step by step and becoming better, it will be yours alone. So if you are really interested in getting better developer and learning how to build your IT company or how to make your company projects be delivered more efficiently, more reliably, with more fun, with more capabilities, then that's the goal, that's the purpose of this podcast and the accompanying project on practical software design.
Well, with that, why don't we get into a little bit more of the details about, you know, what we're actually going to do. And so I've been jokingly saying, you know, this podcast is sort of our audio apprenticeships. You know, it's a focus on teaching you practical software design and delivery. But initially with these podcasts, you know, there's going to be supplemental materials that go along with it that Renat's been mentioning that we'll get into in later modules as the skill set builds up for that or where it makes sense. But right now the primary delivery is podcast because we just think, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are commuting or basically don't have the ability to be watching a screen and at the same time always, or they're multitasking. And this is a way to learn and move forward with audio only. So that's why I'm calling it the audio apprenticeships. And I will try as we go through this journey and as Renat is explaining things to me and to us, I might be annoyingly, Renat, describing what you're talking about as best I can, assuming that, you know, they're not looking at a screen like I might be able to. And I would like it to be beneficial in their car or wherever they're listening to it with only their ears, because I know I get frustrated when I'm trying to follow something and I can't because I'm not sitting in front of my computer. So based on that, what our approach is going to be is at a high level, our mentors or our guests or the people, the person, the journeyman, whatever you want to call the more experienced person that isn't the worst one in the room on that topic, is going to map out the study plan, which guides us through a structured learning journey. So it's not hopefully going to be all over the place like I'm, this might be right now. It's going to be very structured once we get into the study plan, a very focused approach. And, Renat, because you are the one that I and we will be learning from for the foreseeable future, can you help us understand, you know, what does that study plan currently look like and what's that going to look, how's that going to go?
Okay. So in essence, like with this first podcast episode, when it's going to be published on the web, there will be links to the study plan. Study plan is, in essence, ideally the final structure, like the structure of imaginary course on practical software design that we're trying to move forward to. The way it, for example, it can be downloaded from the internet or printed out as a book, whatever. And we're trying to tackle all four levels of, kind of four imaginary levels of dealing with project delivery. That's a strategic level. That's the level where you are dealing with strategic decisions, maybe political decisions, with the resources where you have to find the bounded context or other boundaries where you have to make complex decisions. And while we go through these levels, it will be always from top to bottom. Like, we'll try to highlight the practical aspects or practical things that work or not work or that are not applicable. And strategic level, it's usually the level that is related to product manager or maybe CTO of the company or product portfolio manager. However, since in our journey we don't care about the enterprise organizational structure, we don't care about like this person is responsible for that, this person is responsible for the management. Like, you're going to be, your listener are going to be the only one who is wearing all the hats. So we'll have to learn both how to manage project, how to make strategic decisions. Then the next level would be tactical level. It's the level about taking decisions within a certain module, taking decisions within certain bounded context, refining it, making architectural decisions, maybe delaying some decisions. Third level, as we go down, it will be about the blueprints. It's actual patterns and practices which are get applied to the software being delivered, how they are being applied, how to make trade-offs, how to scale up this thing, how to make this application server efficient, or even how to build an application server. And the fourth level will be the practical one. It's the dirty things. It's the things that are usually not mentioned in consulting materials, that are not usually mentioned in the textbooks, but that can make a whole world of difference in the practical thing world. It's the kind of things that make you busy during this Saturday, Sunday, weekend night, which you prefer spending your time with somebody else. It's the things that make you wake up 5 a.m. in the morning just to take a call with the customer because your system misbehaved. It's the nasty things, it's the practical things, it's the things that make difference between would your application survive in the real world or would your application fail. So we have this big study map, which will be linked, and the podcast is the first step to capture information and knowledge in a way that can be transformed later to this study plan. So the podcast will not actually follow this strategic, tactical blueprint and practical levels. It will be starting with the basics that we're more comfortable with covering. And for example, in the next episode, we'll start about the basic of messaging. What is a message and how does it apply to usual programming and why does it even make sense? However, as we go through these podcasts in seemingly random order, please keep in mind that we're, although the order of the podcast recordings can be not random, but it's like it's incremental. They will increase in complexity. However, the ultimate goal would be to capture all the blocks, all the details that are needed for the complete course. And as Kerry took the burden of actually asking the questions, and asking the questions is one of the hardest things because asking the right question, it involves knowing already half of the answer. So he will take care of structuring the podcast. He will take the burden of actually listening to your feedback. And if there are questions, and if you... Hopefully you will have a lot of questions as well. Kerry will be the one who will be voicing them. He already set up a Trello board, which we will link in the podcast reference as well. This Trello board is essentially a map of the next few episodes as we go through. So at any certain time, we hope to have a rough outline of this episode, and the next episode afterwards. And this Trello board is public, so you can... comment, you can leave your feedback there. And if you have some questions, like for example, in certain podcasts, we didn't cover some topic and this topic is confusing for you, please don't hesitate to leave a feedback and ask for explanations. And if at some certain point I sound annoyed by the question that Kerry asks, this is just an indication that I don't really know the answer to this question exactly and precisely. Because when you know the answer, usually giving it is really easy. If you don't, if you're annoyed, then the answer is not that trivial.
Uh-oh. Well, I'll look out for those opportunities then. Mm-hmm. Good. No, that sounds great. And I think that the way that it's laid out, because it sort of started again from my selfish desire to want to know at least one way to do it right. You know, I know there's many ways to do it. We're not claiming the approach that we'll get into first is a silver bullet and you use it for every single thing. But one of the challenges for a beginner trying to learn this stuff is you've always got these caveats. It's, well, it depends on this. It depends on that. It depends on this. And that's fully understandable because it's a lot of depends in software. But to learn at least one particular approach, I preferred some consistency. So when you laid out the study map here and we were kind of talking about, I would prefer to get your opinion at least for now on if I was going to go work at LOCAD and I wanted to be a top performing software developer there and be great someday, what are the things I'd want to learn? What should I know? What can I ignore right now? And I want to know that from top to bottom. I want to know about that strategic design stuff. You know, let's get into domain-driven design and how am I doing my modeling? And then once I understand that, how do I apply that model? Like, what do I do in Visual Studio if I'm using, you know, C# and structure my projects? And why do you structure them that way? And hey, everyone talks about I should do unit testing and test-driven development or BDD and all these other buzzwords, but what do you actually do when you launch Visual Studio or not in your team? You copy this project, you have a domain in your head, and where do you start? Do you, you know, break out the DSL? I was asking those kinds of questions because I wanted the practical advice to say, I'd like to learn how to go to the next level, but I'd like one particular voice to guide one recommended vertical slice from the strategic to the implementation to the more detailed, dirty details of running it in production and all those things in between. And I think, you know, as we've discussed, that's the approach we're going to try to take, so that you can at least start with one perspective on, if you do this, you're probably on your way to being pretty good.
And well, saying that, like the approach that will be explained, it's actually not something that we came up with at Locat. It's just a synthesis of things that worked in production for many people in many practical projects, and it is based on their work. One thing it is not based on, it is not based on the commercial products. It doesn't serve the goal of actually selling some software, or selling like some SQL Server or messaging queue, etc. Because we don't care about commercial stuff. We don't care about the marketing, etc. That's one of the reasons why actually this podcast wears the name of being the worst. It's like, we don't really care about doing shiny stuff. We don't care about having polished, professional-looking website, etc., etc. We're just interested in getting the job done, and we want the job is to make the difference, like to try to explain, to try to share the things that we're doing at Locat, and things that were borrowed or taken or stolen from other companies and practitioners, and show them that they're actually quite simple. That's really trivial and simple stuff that, if done properly, can help you to deliver your project, to make things work, to make things scale. For example, you can implement a business processing server that handles transactions, handles companies, handles customers, handles their billing and invoicing process. Or you can build a big data solution that is capable of chunking through 100 data for hundreds and hundreds of products, well, actually like millions of product sales, or hundreds of thousands of products on a tiny laptop on one single thread. Like, this is something that can be done with this approach. Building task-driven designs, building responsive applications, building applications for mobile services. This is stuff that seems to be different, distinct, and targeting different projects. But if you understand the core principles, if you understand how to take a given problem and break it into much simpler elements, then solving this problem becomes much easier. And what we'll be trying to teach you is to teach you and to show you, to explain how we approach the problem of solving the problems, of making them seem simple, and then attacking one small elements one at a time. So it's not the ultimate guideline. It's not the ultimate 42 answer to the questions of universe, life, and etc. It's just an approach of looking at things, of breaking complex things, and seeing them done and living through all ups and downs.
Yep, and I think our intent was to, you know, again, my one of my goals for personally is, you know, the ability to deliver quality production software that performs as designed in a practical way. And this is going to be the initial approach that I'll be learning and we'll be learning together. But then, as Renat mentioned, you know, hopefully we'll have other people from the community that, you know, may have differing opinions join us. And that'll be a separate learning journey or module, or however we structure that, so that we're getting those different opinions. But I think, at least for the beginner, which we're targeting right now to get started, is, you know, where do you start? It does help to have that one particular semi-opinionated way to say, mm-hmm. It's not perfect, but I'm looking at five things in production right now that are running a company that didn't need millions of dollars, and it took advantage of the opportunity around me. And if you basically do these things, you should be able to do it too. And that's certainly what I'm trying to get out of it for myself, in addition to the continuous learning that we talked about.
Absolutely.
So with that, I think that we've covered most of the stuff we want to do in the introduction. Sorry if you know, this is the first time I've ever tried to do a podcast, so I'm sure
you're doing really, really good.
We'll try to learn that, and I'll figure out audio levels and We'll get all that stuff worked out over time and iterative as well. But as Renata already mentioned, our next episode, I think we're going to be getting into that fundamental section on the study plan, and that's going to be focusing on messaging. Oh, the other thing I did want to mention, Renata, you did allude to it earlier, but just want to reiterate to the listeners that the other stuff that we did talk about, you know, the podcast is the primary communication mechanism right now, but we certainly do intend to use code examples or homework that I'd be working on and posting on GitHub, and eventually leading up, you know, when my skill set, when the timeline deems it appropriate for me to be able to go to, for example, the IDDD sample that Renat worked on for Vaughn's book and modify that. And the next level, maybe go to the locad.ckrs, whatever the latest code version of that is, and, you know, pull that off the source code repository and start spawning off code samples of maybe a more complex domain that we might refer to when we get into the specifics of domain-driven design. So this is going to be, the intent is to get you educated in theory as well as the practical aspects of actually delivering working software. Because for me, without those two things, this is just, you know, not as interesting if I can't build something I want to build that's in my head.
Absolutely.
So messaging is coming up. We will try to do that soon. I think we're going to work on that next week, and we might even be releasing these sort of close to each other so that you can get through this introduction and actually start getting to the meat of things. That's what I'd want to do as a listener. So I want to thank Renat. Thank you again for agreeing to do this. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for joining me. And we don't have this set up yet, but I'm guessing that we will eventually have the episodes and comments available. You can comment on beingtheworst.com. That's the website. We have that domain. And each episode should be able to have comments on it. And I'll probably end up setting
it's already set up.
That's already set up. Cool. And I probably will set up an email at comments@beingtheworst.com probably. But for sure, the things that exist are the website. The episode's going to be posted there. We're on Twitter @beingtheworst. So @beingtheworst. And we'll see you next time on the Being the Worst podcast. Thank you.
Thank you guys, and until next time.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Out.